Chapter 22. You are invited to come. Revelation, Chapter 22, verses 1-5, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. These last two chapters of the Bible have been a continual comfort to God's people who have had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment, who have wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. The water flowing out of the throne of God and the Lamb is that which Jesus promised to the woman at the well in Samaria, when he said, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Zechariah said, "Living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, whose source," Jeremiah said, "was the Lord, the fountain of living waters." Ezekiel was shown that this river was waters, in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed, a river bringing healing wherever it flowed. This is the eternal life which flows from the cross of Christ. We may taste of it here and now, by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. The tree of life is apparently like the banyan tree, which can have two trunks. It joins at the top over the river, but grows out of the two banks on either side. Ezekiel saw the tree in vision, along the bank of the river, on this side, and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. The food that grows out of this sin-cursed earth cannot sustain life for more than a few years. It has no real life in it. But the fruit of this tree provides both healing and eternal life. It will be both delicious and satisfying. And it will be free. Why are the leaves of the tree needed for the healing of the nations? Will people raised to life in the first resurrection need to be healed, or to grow? The Lord says, "To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." It was only sin that brought the curse upon our present world: floods, droughts, earthquakes, salt seas, swamps, wildernesses, deserts, useless mountains, deathly sickness, ferocious animals, sorrow, fear and human tears. This is the curse we know so well. As the tree was cast into the cursed waters of Marah, making them sweet, so the tree on which the Lamb of God died for us has taken away the curse. With the curse taken away, no fear will drive us to hide from God. Adam once ran away from him in the Garden of Eden. Cain mourned bitterly as he cried to God, "I shall be hidden from your face." Like a sigh there sounds throughout the Psalms the entreaty, "Do not hide your face from your servant." Even Christ on the cross forgot the pain of the nail wounds, as he sensed the hiding of his Father's face, "Why have you forsaken me?" The sweetest benediction in the Bible is the blessing: "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace." Now, once again, the children of God will look on his face with joy and not be afraid. Good people have ever loved the light of day, and have sometimes imagined the night to harbor enemies, creatures of Satan. Now, with sin and fear forever ended, there shall be no night there. Revelation, chapter 22, verses 6 and 7. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The angel seems to fear that John cannot believe that all this glorious future is real. But we can know that these words are faithful and true, because faith in Christ has kindled in our hearts the evidence of things not seen. The fact that God has given to our human hearts a place for love and gratitude, which is only by faith, is proof that he will give us all other gifts as well. It is one thing to read Revelation hastily, but it is another thing to keep the words of the prophecy of this book. To keep in this sense, is to cherish, as one would cherish a precious jewel. Do you long to have a better mind, one more capable of grasping truth and retaining it? If so, commit the words of this book to memory. The reward that will be yours will enrich your life, because your mind will be strengthened, and your spirit will be renewed. But above all, let your heart learn to love these inspired words. And as we learn to love this book, we shall love the Christ who is revealed there, and we shall want him to come soon. Revelation, chapter 22, verses 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." An angel is a wonderful being, but he has no desire to be worshipped. King Herod proudly accepted the worship of the multitude when they shouted, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man," knowing full well he did not deserve it. The angel immediately sets John on his feet and assures him that he is only your fellow servant. The angel knows no pride such as Herod yielded to. What a pity, when a man or ruler wants to be worshipped by his fellow men. Few are as humble as this angel who directs the glory to God. No one who wants to be worshipped or praised can long enjoy the respect of others. All who keep the words of this book share in the rewards to be enjoyed by John and his fellow prophets. God is generous in giving out rewards. Even he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. To receive the messages of the spirit of prophecy is simply to welcome them into the heart. Revelation, chapter 22, verse 10. And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." The time for us to understand this book has always been at hand. The weakest and most unworthy person has only to pray earnestly and humbly for light, and God will immediately send angels to instruct him in its meaning. But let no one pretend that he is wiser than he really is. Let him seek with tears for help, even as John wrote the book with tears. And its secrets will become his possession. There is a reason why the Lord told John not to seal this book. The prophet Daniel was commanded to shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Thank God, Revelation has never been sealed, but of all the books of the Bible, it is the one that religious people seem most inclined to regard as sealed. For many years, Christ has carried on his work of changing men and women into new people, cleansed from sin. The unjust have become just, the filthy have become clean. No one who asked has been denied. But when the high priest must complete his work in the most holy apartment of the sanctuary in heaven, he will pause as he leaves the temple to pronounce these solemn words, which will thereafter freeze every man's character, and leave him as he is for all eternity. Revelation, chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every one according to his work. When will this decree be spoken? As soon as the likeness of Christ's character is reflected in his people, as the sun is reflected in a mirror. Then the cosmic day of atonement will end, and the door of mercy so long open to repenting sinners will swing shut. No man can open it again. Nevermore will the Holy Spirit plead with the guilty one. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The long, merciful today has at last ended forever. Have you already learned to believe that Christ loves you, that he is your Savior? Have you yielded to that constraint of love that motivates you to obedience to all his commandments? Someone may receive this book in his hands only a moment before Jesus will speak these final words. Everyone can have exactly what he wants above all else. If he really wants to stay just like he is, forever, he can have his heart's desire. But how better to ask to be converted? The Lord once said of his people long ago, "Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone." Saddest words that could be spoken. It is of this time that the Savior has spoken, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth." After probation closes, those who have sent their sins on beforehand to judgment will never fail again, because their sins will have been eternally blotted out of the books of heaven. How will the reward have been determined for everyone before Christ comes? In the investigative or pre-advent judgment. Good people of long ago who have gone to their rest never dreamed of the good fruit that would continue to grow long after their death, from the seeds they planted. What a rich harvest they will find in the resurrection day. Imagine the surprise of the martyr Stephen, as he realizes that his sermon has been preserved in the book of Acts, and that the apostle Paul was converted because of his martyrdom. Each receives a reward according as his work shall be in full fruitage. What a joy to devote all we have to the service of our Lord and of his people, so when our journey is over, we can look back with gratitude for the grace of the Lord manifested in our lives. Revelation, chapter 22, verses 13 to 16. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The third angel says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus." The true remnant church of Jesus Christ is distinguished thus: the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Many are deceived into thinking that the keeping of the commandments of God is old-fashioned and useless. But the one who receives Christ as his Savior will find it impossible not to keep them, because he is under grace, and therefore cannot make void the law. The dogs outside symbolically designate those whose characters are filthy. Peter speaks of certain people in his day who have known the way of righteousness and turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. Can you think of anyone more miserable at last than he who remembers that he was once in the way that led into the holy city, but that he turned back again to the vomit of the world's vain and selfish ways? Included in that group will be some who have trained their mental tastes to enjoy untrue fiction, filthy books or magazines or movies. Whoever loves a lie could never be happy inside. Revelation, chapter 22, verses 17 to 19, and the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall make away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. No one who truly desires to drink the water of life will be refused. It was an Arab custom, as camel caravans would tread their way through the hot desert, that if the leader saw water he would wave his arms, calling, Come! Water! The men behind him would do the same, and so on down the line until all had heard the joyful news. As we come to the end of our book, we are urged to pass on the invitation, whoever desires, to others. Those who add false doctrines borrowed from heathenism or from Babylon, and present them as though they were Christ's teaching, add unto the words of this prophecy. They suppose that what church councils and other great men have approved must be truth. God pities them in their ignorance, and for this reason sends them this message of warning. As sure as day follows night, to add teachings not found in the Bible leads them to take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, so they can make room for the false doctrines. John's warning sounds very severe. But the Lord would not send it unless it was needed. Revelation, chapter 22, verse 20, first part, He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. While the author was writing this last chapter, something happened to impress these words of Jesus on our minds more clearly. For a week we had been expecting important visitors. A friend told us they would come tomorrow. Well, we thought, we would have tomorrow to clean the house and prepare for their visit. Suddenly we were called from our work of writing to go out and meet them, because they had come today instead. Jesus told John 2,000 years ago he was coming quickly, but he hasn't yet come. Has he delayed his coming? Some friends once asked a certain woman, When is your husband coming home? I don't know, she replied, but I hope he doesn't come back soon. It's not hard to guess what was wrong with her. Jesus is ready to come, and the only reason he has not come as yet is that his people are not ready for him. He has not delayed his coming. We have delayed it. People hopelessly ill on hospital beds are willing for Jesus to come. But people who are well, full of life and fun, earning money, seeking pleasure, enjoying the things of this world, seldom want Jesus to come now. To be ready for Jesus' coming is to desire his coming as a loving, faithful wife desires the coming of her husband. Because she loves him, she has forsaken all others, and desires only to see him and to be with him. Jesus will come any time his people really want him to come. It is because they love this world that they have this world. When they love Jesus appearing, they will have his appearing. Things, houses, lands, cars, furniture, clothes, lose their appeal when we see the glory of the cross of Christ. So do sensual pleasure and love of ease. God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see His cross, we grasp the reality of life. We sense that nothing is ours by right. If one died for all, then all died. Had he not died, you and I would be dead. It follows that our lives are not our own. Grace has imposed on us a debt. Understanding this and believing it, no one can live for the things of this world. Christ died in place of him. Henceforth, he is crucified with Christ. In this way the love of Christ constrains us, and living for him becomes a joy. Everyone who believes will want to pray as John did, Revelation, chapter 22, verse 20, last part, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." There remains only one little verse as we come to the end of our book. And there is enough gospel truth in it to save our souls if this were all we had of the book of Revelation. To each one who will simply say Amen from his heart, no matter how great a sinner he has been, these words will be fulfilled forever, Revelation, chapter 22, verse 21, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." A prayer, our loving Father, as we began to study this book of Revelation, we ask for the blessing which ye promised to him who reads. Now we pause to thank you for keeping that promise. The book has been opened to us, and we have begun to see the mysteries unveiled. That which has been revealed is Christ. Oh, Lord, let us each join someday in helping to place a crown of victory on his head. And let us live to his glory now. In his name, Amen.